You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host Chris
and Jonathan.
It's getting tight, man. We about to be near the end.
Yeah, got a few more games left. Yeah. My Bulls are holding on very tightly, trying to get that third seed. But
I don't know.
Yeah, it's been.
But like I said, I don't care. Doesn't matter. I don't care what seed we are. I don't. Okay, well, I don't. Derrick Rose is back. Don't matter now.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm going to address that. Like, mm-hmm. You may care a little bit.
Yeah, I ain't tripping.
Yeah, my Spurs are fighting there. It's a tough battle. I mean, this playoff season is going to be crazy.
That West is deep.
Yeah. This is our from the last show before the playoff starts. We'll be getting into all that. We actually have a guest we're going to bring on in a minute. If y'all want to hit us up directly, y'all want any feedback, comments, just chopping us with us, talking sports, any of that good stuff, you can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. We'll read it and play it on the show and get back at you.
Yeah, anything y'all want to dish out in us, any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to let us know, hit us up. We will definitely get back at you.
Yes, sir. Before we introduce our guest, we do have some feedback.
Whoop, whoop.
From the homie Kojak.
What's going on, sir?
Did Duke just win the national championship? I told the world, cuz. So basically, he been bumping. You can't tell me nothing by Kanye.
Oh,
Kentucky,
boy.
North Carolina, and Salty Bo Ryan can head to Suplex City. Bo so salty because he lost the championship and didn't get into the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
Like, how about our Spurs? Only Spurs fans understand how we work. We literally can jump from sixth to second. We are too good. This is a Kojak production. So, yeah, man. Thank
Shout
you,
out.
Man.
What's going on, sir?
Yeah, man. Spurs That's is hitting funny. It.
I mean, it's a tight race right now. They're what? They're tied with the Clippers. They're tied with Memphis.
Yeah, it's a three-way tie for second.
And if... Oof.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, we talked about last week how people's feelings was a little butthurt regarding Duke winning.
Mr. Harrison.
Yep.
To be exact.
Yep. And
Bo
Ryan, too.
Just to an extent.
Yep.
We don't do rental players.
What?
Come on, man. I understand, but still, you don't say that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Just don't go there. Just don't go there.
Right. So let's introduce our guest, man. We got with us, he's fam.
This ain't that fictionary fam. This is blood.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's true down fam. You know what I'm saying?
You're staying out here almost for Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Part of that championship team in Michigan State. What year?
2000.
There you go.
Had the opportunity to play under Tom Izzo and Coach K.
Oh, yeah, we're going to ask him about all that.
I mean, you know.
Got our fam Mike Chappelle. What's
Mike
going
Chappelle.
On, man?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Going on,
sir.
Good to
be here. Good to be here. No, just living.
Nice. For sure. Well, first things first, I mean, I guess, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play for 2 years with Duke University. I came out of high school in 96, went down there and played from 97, 98. And I ended up transferring after my sophomore year. Went back home to Michigan State and finished out my career there, graduating in 2001. Had a chance to play in two Final Fours. We won a championship in 2000. And, yeah, you know, just had a lot of memorable, you know, a lot of great experiences.
Nice.
How did you end up going to Duke? Did you recruit a lot? How did you recruit?
Oh, man. I was
What was life like as a – I guess a star player in high school.
You know, it didn't really start off like that.
Okay.
You know, I had an older brother, you know, Mark,
Yeah.
5 years older than me. So I pretty much did whatever he did. And, he was a pretty good basketball player in high school, made varsity as a sophomore. So I used to go to all the games and coming up. You know, the school we went to wasn't known for basketball at all. I think what really got me out there on the mat was the – you know, we went to a few high school tournaments, five-star camp was run by Howard Garfinkel. And at the time, and I didn't know it, I just went for the camp. But, I mean, it was pretty much a who's who of basketball. So I went there my first time. I was going to be a rising sophomore. But Tim Thomas was there,
nice.
Vince Carter, Stephon Marbury, Lauren Woods, my ex-teammate Chris Carrawell.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, you know, I'm just a young kid from Michigan. And, you know, of course, they weren't recruiting me, but you would look around the court and it was just like wall-to-wall people. And it's just D1 coaches.
Wow.
So this like you're watching the NCAA tournament. This is the first time I'm seeing Coach K's there. Dean Smith's there, Steve Fisher, Izzo was down there. I mean, you can think of all the greats. Lavin was there at UCLA. I mean, for me, I think the big thing was actually seeing that as a kid and actually knowing, okay, it's tangible, it's possible, and that kind of, you know, started a fire within me when I got back, you know, saying, wow, I can do that. You just put the work in and, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I was blessed, you know, fortunate, you know, and it worked out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what led you to transfer back back to Michigan?
Well, like I said, you know, I was kind of a late bloomer. I signed early, but I had it in my mind and I was always going to go to Michigan State.
Okay.
You know, I went to my first basketball camp. I think I was 13 at the time. And I wanted to be the next Steve Smith. You know, I wanted to be the next Magic Johnson, the next Sean Respert.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it was never in my mind that, okay, I'm going to be recruited on the scale that I was. So as the story goes, I tell my mom, I want to go to Michigan State. Because you get four visits. And she's like, okay, that's fine. You want to go to Michigan State, just take another visit. Take another visit. Because I had maybe 10 in-home visits. I had John Chaney came in. Florida State came in. Duke, Michigan State. But everybody knew I was probably going to go to Michigan State.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went and visited the last weekend. I went and visited Michigan State, loved it. Pretty much told him, you know, I want to come. But my mother wants me to take one more visit. I said, okay, I'm going to go check out Duke. At the time, I didn't even know where Durham was.
Right.
You know, I know it was Duke. I knew that, you know, they beat Michigan, you know.
Right.
So I'm going down there, and I actually fell in love. I was an 18-year-old kid. You know, I'm talking to Coach K. He's telling me how much I reminded him of Grant Hill.
Wow.
He's telling me how... And at the time, Grant Hill actually was playing for the Pistons. I had him come to one of my high school games, which was ridiculous.
Wow.
That's bananas. But I'm 18 years old. I mean, he's telling me how they're on ESPN every night. You know, Nike sponsoring them. You know,
I've always wondered how the pitches kind of went. I was kind of like, okay, what do they ask you guys?
So. I mean, for me, and I think this will go into a little bit later about how the game has changed, but – I mean, coming up, you're thinking about, okay, I want to go as big as I can. I want to play on the biggest stage possible. You know, I want to win championships. I want to be in a tournament. Everybody wants that one shining moment.
Right.
It didn't get any better than that. I mean, so if I have those things in mind and I have the opportunity to go to Duke, how do I pass up on that? Even though my heart is really telling me, go to Michigan State. So, you know, I couldn't turn that down.
Okay.
Couldn't turn that down. So I went down there my freshman year. I played my freshman year. I got some spot minutes. I did pretty well. My sophomore year, I actually started 21 games.
Okay.
I was in the rotation, played about maybe 15, 20 minutes a game. And then, you know, going into the end of that year, things kind of went a different direction.
Okay.
And that was a little bit unsettling. And I think at that point, I think in my heart, it was like, okay, I'm here. Things aren't really turning out the way I wanted them to turn out. I'm not really liking the direction it's going in. So, you know, I thought it was time to make a move.
Okay.
So, and unfortunately, you know, I still had a relationship with Izzo, and, you know, he was able to pick me up and things worked out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Coach K, Tom Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
What are the difference between the two?
I think the difference is basically the level of their programs. And this is not a knock at all. You know, I think Michigan State is A1 right now. But, you know, for Duke, I mean, all they recruit is All-Americans, you know.
Right.
So the way you handle an All-American is a lot different than versus, okay, you're getting guys that you know are going to be there for 4 years, and now you're developing them. You know, a lot of guys in Michigan State, it's very rare to have a one-and-done or even a two-year guy out. Most of the guys stay, like Adrian Payne or Mateen Cleese Morris Peterson, you know, versus, you know, with Duke, they're getting – they're getting the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Right.
They're getting the cream of the crop, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast. So I think that the big difference for me is Coach K runs more sets where he puts his players in positions where they can kind of feed off their talent. He gets them to buy into the program, you know, where guys sacrifice for the greater good of the team. And I think, you watch the way they played through the tournament run. I mean, it was sheer belief there, you know, sheer belief. And, you know, I think he's the master of that. He gets guys to play at a level that's really unmatched. And a lot of them have a hard time sustaining that once they move on. I mean, you look at the Bobby Hurleys and not knocking them. I think Christian Leiter had a great career. Mm-hmm. But when you go back and look at the way those guys performed in college, I mean, they were untouchable, unstoppable.
Right.
You know, or even a Jason Williams, you know, or a Duhan or J.J. Redder. You can go down the list. I mean, these guys have phenomenal – he brings that out of you, you know.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Michigan State, it's a little different. Like I said, I think that Michigan State gets to the point now where they're getting McDonald's All-Americans now. But, you know, I think that if you're in the Midwest, that's where they're going to draw from. Duke is going to draw from the whole
nation.
Whole nation. Gotcha. You know, if you're in the Midwest and you want to go large, you're going to go to Michigan State. And, you know, they're going to develop you. You know, they're going to grind it out. I mean, I think what really separates Izzo's programs is he gets guys just so tough. You know, and when I was there, I think the staple was we used to out-rebound guys, out-rebound teams by 10. Like and rebounding is all heart, really.
Right.
I mean, who wants the ball more? I mean, and we're going to out-rebound you. We're going to be physical. I mean, and we won a lot of games just off of that alone. And, you know, every March, it doesn't matter what their record is. State's teams are going to play with that kind of heart.
Right.
And you see that. And I've mentioned that on the show that they seem to be okay or they're decent during the regular season. And then come tournament time, they just turn it up a notch. And it's just
absolutely
it's incredible.
Absolutely.
Now, I would say with those two coaches, what positives were you able to take from both of them, having been able to play under both?
Wow. I think the biggest thing for me was learning, I guess, what it took to be successful. And so it's a formula to it. And it's not a pretty formula. I mean, but it's not secret. It's not something that's in a bottle or you drink. It's basically you come in and day out. This is what you got to do. There's no shortcuts to it.
Right.
You got to sacrifice. You got to grind. You got to make it happen. And it's simple, but not a lot of people are doing it.
And you see dudes in the locker room who you know are kind of, I don't want to say half-assing it, but aren't.
Oh, I mean, but see, and that's what was so special. I never saw that.
Nice.
I never saw that until after I started playing professionally abroad. You know, I started seeing guys' work habits. You know,
okay.
For us, it was like, you know, there's a certain level that you have to be at, and it was just understood. You know,
gotcha.
There was no slacking,
right?
You know, and then the guys that were slacking, I mean, they were on the bench anyway. They weren't playing, so. But yeah, I mean, there's no shortcuts to it. I mean, and I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to impart on my kids away from court. And
right.
It's just basically, you know, there are no shortcuts. Every day you do it day in and day out.
Nice. Right.
So it becomes a habit.
Nice. Right.
That's good. So tell us about that run, man. You're part of a special.
Oh,
not
wow.
Everybody does it.
Oh.
what was it like that season, that championship?
It was
season?
Almost like a blur. I mean, really looking back on it, you got a chance to do a lot of special things. Getting to Michigan State, I was part of a class that won 4 Big Ten championships. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough at any level,
yeah.
You know. And even not to knock what I did at Duke, because I was able to win 2 ACC regular season championships. So, I mean, that's the level of the teams I was playing with. But you kind of knew, and I think we alluded to it before when we were talking about the Spurs off air,
mm-hmm.
or the Clippers. Once you get there and you get that taste of success, now it's not enough. Now you got to take that next step.
Yep, right.
So my redshirt year, the team had got to the Final Four and they lost to Duke. And that was, in St. Petersburg. So coming back my junior year, the emphasis was just on winning a national championship. I mean, that was it.
Right.
It was, we didn't care about the Big Ten championship. We didn't care about Big Ten tournament. We didn't care about the NCAA tournament, you know. It was all about winning the championship. And from the moment we started preseason conditioning to Midnight Madness, that was that one focus. I mean, and to have like 12 or 13 guys, you know, with the same goal, wasn't just the whole staff with the same goal. That's a beautiful thing, and that's hard to stop. Definitely hard to stop.
Now, once you won that championship,
mm-hmm.
what is that locker room like? After winning that ultimate goal?
Oh, man, it's surreal, really. I mean, just the feelings that you get as a spectator watching this sport, I mean, just watching the championship in the past, as you know, you take that as a kid growing up to actually, okay, you're out there, you're on that podium, you know, Jim Nance is down there, he's talking to you. I mean, it's almost like it's not real. I mean,
right.
And to be honest, I mean, things happen so fast for me that, you know, I'm, you know, in my late 30s now, it's all really starting to sink in. Like, wow, I mean, I guess guys don't really have that experience, you know. So, I mean, I think you get it a little bit in the moment, but I don't think until you know, you're far removed from it, then you start really starting to sink in. Like, you know, we accomplished a lot.
Right.
Nice.
What is the Final Four like, actually? I mean, because when you're looking at it, it looks like you got the tournament,
mm-hmm.
and then it's the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Final Four starts, it's like, all right, everything starts over again,
mm-hmm.
and you've been to a couple. What is it like?
It's probably one of the largest sports spectacles on earth. I mean, bar none. Just the amount of crowd support that are there. You're playing in an arena, you're probably playing in front of 100,000 people, which is ridiculous because – I mean, you're looking up in the stands, and it's just like a blur. You can't pick anybody out from that distance,
right.
You know. The amount of phone calls that you get, the support, emails, that I can only imagine it's a lot worse now because of social media.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, I mean, it's really unreal. It's the best way I can explain it. I mean, from the time you step on a bus, get off the plane, you know, you're leaving the gym. The campus is there to see you off. You know, you get on a charter plane, you land, it's fans waiting for you at the airport. You take the bus to the hotel, the boosters are all in the lobby. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, people wait their whole year, and you have alumni from all over the world that travel just to be a part of this one moment.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's amazing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lost in the Final Four, was there a lot of backlash to you guys, or was it more appreciation for what you guys were able to accomplish?
You know,
especially, you know, being there wasn't the social media like it is today.
I don't think for any team that loses in the Final Four, I don't think it's any backlash. I mean, for the ride, I mean, the tournament is such an emotional roller coaster. I mean, if you're playing like on a Tuesday, Saturday, Friday. So you'll go from an immense super high. And then if you lose that following game, then it's like the lowest. But I think, you know, everybody's thankful or, you know, appreciative for, you know, being a part of it. So it's never any backlash, but yeah, it's tough. It is definitely tough.
I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it hard to juggle school and being in the tournament? Because you hear all the time, guys, you know, I mean, tournament comes, it's like y'all got no time to go to class.
No, I mean, that's tough. That's tough. And then, you know, but everybody's pretty understanding, of course, of what's going on. So for the most part, the teachers will work with you as far as rescheduling assignments and getting your exam scheduled together. But, you know, I tip my hat to any student athlete out there playing any sport. I mean, the term student athlete really doesn't do justice to the kind of time commitments that are put on athletes. I mean, you're expected to compete in the classroom with every other student, mm-hmm. which is a full-time job. I mean, most students, you know, they're in a class, they're at the library, they're studying, you know, they're meeting with their professors and getting tutoring. Now, as an athlete, you're supposed to do all of that. Now, you're supposed to also meet your commitments athletically. And that's travel, your game schedule, your practice schedule, film study, whatever condition is necessary, and meeting with your tutors. Jeez. You know, so it's really two full-time jobs.
Yeah.
It's really two full-time jobs. And for anybody to be able to balance that, get a degree out of it, and still play at a high level, I mean, that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot about their, I guess, their resolve and their mental toughness.
Now, I know there's that rule put in place. I don't know the talent, but it seems like with college basketball, one of the things is there's a – you only are – allowed a certain amount of time for either practice or like individual practice. It seems like there's a, you know, where it seems like with the international guys, they can mm-hmm. take the time they want to spend hours upon hours working on their game, yep. where it seems like in college you're not allowed to do that.
Well, I think the NCAA has a rule, and I'm not sure. I don't want to misquote anything mm-hmm. or misspeak, but I think there are only a certain amount of hours that can be allocated towards athletic-related events.
Okay.
And I think sometimes the way people get around it is by saying, okay, this is you have to be there for it. It's involuntary versus, okay, this is a voluntary workout, you know, right. where you, it's not really necessary that you be there, but it's kind of unwritten rule that, you know, you're going to be there.
So. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, it seemed like with your class and later on, I think Florida with Noah and those boys might have been the last.
Yeah.
It seemed like you guys made an effort to come back as opposed to a lot of guys now who is just like, I'm coming 1 year. Mm-hmm. Like Kentucky, who lost seven guys already.
Yep.
What changed? I know money has a lot to do with it, I'm sure.
Yep.
But what besides that changed?
It's the money.
And I figured
it's the money, but you know what? And a lot of this is, I guess, it's the NBA's fault. And I mean, I think they've really created a monster, and I don't see how they can actually put it back in a box or put it back in the cage. And just talking from my own experience, I mean, I take the NBA draft for instance. When I was in high school, and this was a big thing for me, I used to run home and watch the NBA draft, mm-hmm. and I remember the first round highlights. I think Steve Smith was drafted, and his highlight film went like this: three-time All-American, two-time Big Ten first player, you know, first team player mm-hmm. of the year, averaged 20 a game, you know. And they're showing these highlights. He's doing dunking on three people, and then they say the next guy drafted was Derek Coleman, you know, parade consensus first team All-American, averaged 25 in Syracuse, or. You remember the big dog, Glenn Robinson,
Absolutely.
Averaged 30 in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, these guys got these huge, like, resumes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're putting an average in, think about that, 25 in the Big Ten or 30 in the Big Ten. Right. That's unreal.
And dudes ain't doing that no more.
No. Now, I watch the draft, and it's like, oh, he averaged 10. And he was, like, honorable mention all MEAC. You know? So, I mean, I think that's the big difference where – now everything's off potential. That's the word, potential.
That's what we keep talking about.
Thank you.
Everybody's
favorite
word.
Beating that into the ground. So, he's so athletic.
What? So what's the reward for a guy to go back to school and work on his game and improve when you're just going to pick somebody else that's younger
I mean,
why did they do that? That doesn't make sense to me.
In one hand, you're telling them stay in school, get more mature, work on your game.
Yeah.
And then the next breath, they're going to pick a freshman, you know. Or so as long as they're doing that, nothing's going to change.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you said a lot of this is on the NBA's mm-hmm. fault. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
As long as they're drafting these guys. As long as they're picking up, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, actually. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I think that it's proven that, you know, guys can have successful careers. I mean, sure, for every KG or Kobe Bryant or T-Mac or, I mean.
Of course, LeBron. And
LeBron or whatever. And that, yeah. Of course, there are guys that, you know, you never heard of that didn't make it. But because you have those guys that did make it, you know, you've pretty much shown that it can be done.
Right.
So
they roll the dice.
Basically. And to each his own. I mean, for every guy that says, I want to be a brain surgeon, you know, in medical school, you might have three guys that make it, three guys that don't make
right.
it. Right. I mean, so it's the same thing. It's risk versus reward. So, right. I mean, I think people can make their own decision. And just touching on that, I mean, the way the NBA does it is, okay, they have this rule in place where kids have to go to school, you know, for 1 year. I mean, which is kind of...
Yeah, I think they can't...
This is dumb.
Now yeah, you,
it's
now
like
you,
1 year after your senior season, so...
Yeah, so...
It's a year of basically do what you want
to
do.
I think you're kind of screwing up the college game in that, because now you're changing the way they have to recruit. You know, it's kind of like a carryover. But before, what the NBA was doing is telling kids, okay, stay in school... And then they go overseas and pick a guy just as young who has no formal education. He's just been playing basketball forever. Right. You know, so it's a lot of hypocrisy to it.
Mm. Yeah, and I think what you're saying, breaking down all the things that a student athlete has to do, I mean, that's a lot, especially this day and age now when you can tell that college athletics specifically – you know, men's football and basketball are like the cash cows for these pros.
It's too much money
involved. And these schools to where, I mean, you even had a, you know, Ed O'Bannon case where he's trying to, you know, to get a part of it, some money. With the way it is now, how do you think the money situation should play out as a student athlete? Do you think they deserve more of a stipend? If they don't have stipends, do they do that? How much is a fair amount?
Well, look, I think in order to do it and be fair, you're going to have to get the universities to open the books and say, so you got to be able to see and trace how much revenue is being generated by which sports team. I'm pretty sure you can do that. I mean, I'm just not privy to it.
But, right.
You know, as far as paying athletes, I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily the way to go, because I think that's just going to make the richer, you know, the rich get richer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, of course, because
of course,
find a booster, someone who's willing to, you know, oh, well, the school needs some money to pay this guy. I can do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what I would like to see is maybe say like a Duke just won the national championship, so they could actually trace how much money and revenue is going to the university because of this championship, and then set some money aside to put in trust for the athletes, so they can't touch it for maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years, so that money can kind of accrue, you know, so they have a little nest egg, you know.
Right.
Now you do that with a student athlete over 4 years, and they see, okay, if we're winning and making a tournament and we're making these long runs, we're getting X amount of dollars put into this account that we can't touch and trust, but they see that going in every year. I mean, that's an incentive to work hard. It's an incentive to win.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see something like that done. I mean, that's kind of showing the university that they care about the kids, you know, they care about their financial well-being afterwards. But, you know, I don't know what the perfect solution would be.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there is one. I do like the trust, because it doesn't come off like you're paying the guy. Like, I'm not giving you – you're not going to reap your benefits now, which I know you're not allowed to work, went on scholarship and all that, so it's hard having at least some pocket money that you would need. But it wouldn't – at least would – you might encourage guys to actually stay.
Absolutely.
To feel like, okay, well, you know, let me just play another year, you know, stay along for my degree. I can earn some more money for later.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That could help. And of course, the other question is just the game itself. Mm-hmm. What have you seen for you that's changed from when you were playing to the way it is now? But you got guys
Gino
from,
Army, or it was Gino Ariyama.
Yep,
and from Connecticut, he said it's terrible.
Yeah, and then you have
Mark Cuban said it's terrible.
Mark Cuban says that it doesn't prepare. They're not preparing guys for the pros.
I kind of point my finger at Mark Cuban because he's part of the same system that's causing a problem. As long as his peers are drafting these guys anyway, regardless of it, I mean, you're just going to continue along the same path. And I'm sure he's going to have – he has to do it. He has because everybody else is doing it. But like I said, I think it's the NBA that's really created this monster because now you got guys going 1 year, you know, 1 year in and out. Like how can a college coach develop a player in 1 year? I mean, so I don't think – that's like the – I can't blame – the coaches for that. I mean, you got guys that I'm only going to go to school 1 year, 2 years until I get my stock up. I mean.
And will guys say that to the coach?
Oh, yeah.
Straight up?
One and done. That's how they're recruited. And if they have to stay longer, I'm sure the coach won't have a problem with that, but it does affect his incoming class. Think about Duke. If Jabari Parker stayed, would that may have affected Okafor going there? I mean,
good point.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
They won anyway. Would be like, wow, these two together would be
great. But would they want to? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Was that how they recruited? Or you think about Kentucky? If Davis would have stayed, would they have still been able to get the guys or assemble the team that they would have had? Yeah. Or you know, so all of that plays into it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can't be mad at the kids. I'm sure. For any doctor or lawyer, if you tell them, look, you don't have to go to school and take the general ed classes. You can just go straight to medical school or you can go straight to law school. I'm sure everybody would do that.
Right. Yeah.
You'd probably save your student loans. So what's the difference? And this seems to me is the only professional sport where this is talked about. It's not talked about in NHL. It's not really talked about as much in the Major League Baseball system, mm-hmm. as many farm teams. Why is the NBA so different? I mean, I think that's the question.
My response to that first thought, unfortunately, would be like because the NBA is looked at as a black league.
Fair enough.
I heard the argument with MLB before because they're like, you know, technically guys leave to go to the farm systems or the minor leagues, or they just go straight out of high school if they're that good.
Absolutely.
And if it's not them, you got the foreign guys, they're not going to college.
Absolutely.
They're just going straight from wherever their school is, high school, to their teams, their pro teams. So nobody's going to college. I mean, football has it, but I mean –
Football just physically.
Yeah, they won't do that because
it's hard to make a leap from high school football to the NFL. Just physically, you would get dominated.
Yeah, you've had guys try, but
No.
Do you have a preference? I know this. It's going to be an issue come a couple seasons with the CBA of this whole with the draft and when guys can come out. Would you rather see it go back to straight to high school, leave it as 1 year? It sounds like I don't think you'd be okay with the NBA's proposal, which is going to 20.
20.
They want to make it a 2 years after high school.
It seems like they would be in cahoots or collusion with the NCAA because that's the organization that gets richer. I mean, I can't see how,
that would benefit the NBA, yeah.
Exactly. And the kids staying there in 2 years, I mean – and here's my argument, and I've heard – it's not necessarily my argument, but I've heard it. Do you think the kid is going to be better playing in a college system for 2 years, or is he going to be better playing day in and day out with pros?
Right. That's been the question.
I mean, and for me, I think that, if the kid wants to be a pro, and that's really where his heart is, he should go. He should be able to pursue that. I mean, this is America, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can die for your country at 18. You get drafted and go to war. Why can't a kid go make a – and I think that I want to say Moses Malone was the first one. Did he sue?
I believe so when he went straight out of high school.
I think he had to sue, though, to make that a possibility.
Yeah, we know when we talk about last week with Spencer Haywood.
Yeah.
He was the one who – at that time, it was you had to stay all 4 years.
Yep.
And he tried to, he had to sue all the way to the Supreme Court to be let out after his sophomore season. I mean, even.
And they reversed it too, didn't they? Because it was unconstitutional at the time.
I believe so, yeah.
I think it's a losing argument. I mean, all it's going to take is one kid to actually press it and sue it. I mean, if a kid wants to go, and I think, and this is where my head is, because they're taking away scholarships from a kid that wants to go to the university and stay for 4 years.
Right.
I mean.
Or at least stay a while.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, why? I mean, and some kids, and this is not everybody, but if they have no real interest in going to school or taking advantage of that, I mean, then what are they really doing? I mean, what is the school doing? You're recruiting a kid knowing that they're not going to go to school. They're not going to do, they're just there to play basketball. Then that's wrong. Because the university is taking advantage of them.
Yeah, and they have, and you get caught up like Syracuse, like North Carolina, where they're having a cheat test because guys don't want to be there.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I don't blame them. Like, I want to play ball, and I just, according to the rules, I can't play ball yet. I have to wait a year, so I'm just here. I know the NBA's complaint partially is the development that it seems like it takes 3 years. I mean, Anthony Davis is now a stud, but it took him his third year to really break. I mean, he was good to begin with, but he really broke out. A lot of these guys who are top five, top 10 picks, you see them a glimpse of it come the end of the season, but you know it's going to be a while.
Yep.
And I know we feel like, you know, if you stay 2-3 years, you'd come in and just be ready.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Well, that goes back to my point. The NBA can alleviate that. They can change that. Nobody's talking about Frank Kaminsky being the number one pick.
What did I say on the last episode?
You know,
like, why can't
he was killing the whole. He had a great tournament run. I've never heard his name mentioned. Why is that?
I heard 4 years. Second round pick. I'm like, why?
He stayed all 4 years
because he hit his ceiling already. According to some people.
Well, no, that's NBA talk.
That's so stupid.
But see, that goes to it. Okay, so now you want these kids to stay so they can develop after their third year. Okay, you got a guy that can step in. Frank Kaminsky, to me, is poor man's Dirk Nowitzki. Why can't he be the next Dirk Nowitzki?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But nobody that's making those decisions are talking to him like that. Can you name another 4-year senior?
Nope. No.
That's a shame. That's a shame to me.
And he's going
to
drop, and the rich just going to get richer.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody they're talking about, they're all freshmen. And then they were complaining about it. Well, if you want to see something different, do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reward somebody for staying 4 years. Make him the number one pick. You know, if I see a 4-year guy, number one, you know what? I'm going to think about that. Because now it's looked at, if you're coming back to school, it means you're not good enough to go.
Right.
And it's going to hurt your stock.
Yep.
Right.
Where's the upside?
Yeah, I just think it is funny that we, as society, as fans of either sport, are hypocrites in the fact that we want to see a guy stay. But if he's talked about enough and he decides to stay, he's stupid. Like, why would you do that? You blowing it, and then there's a chance you could blow your stock.
Absolutely.
You know, but who's to say he's ready? And I guess it's easier. I mean, most 99% of us would agree, like, would you rather be learning – while getting a check, be like, of course, like, yeah, I like to learn and play. I do think the development league, it's gotten better. It's helping out. Yeah. But I do think they need to find some bridge between. It has to be more of a bridge. I have to keep developing.
Well, absolutely. And I guess what I think about the whole vehicle of higher learning, and at least from my point of view is, okay, you go to school to get a degree so you can make a living. Now, these are kids that they have the talent to make a living now, you know, so that point of university is not really there for them. Now, it would be my hope that they would come back and actually pursue a degree afterwards. But if you're given that opportunity to make, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, you might not be able to make that kind of money again ever in your life. I mean, I think you really have to pursue that. You really have to take it. But, you know, I would like to see – I think the problem comes into, I guess, the guidance surrounding these kids, because now they become the CEO of their own brand and their own, you know, corporation, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
Everything is a brand now.
Yeah.
Everybody's a brand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of the – the negative examples that people point to saying, well, they're not ready, comes from kids just being surrounded by the wrong people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's probably the issue that needs to be addressed more than anything, because it's been proven the kid, they can play.
Right.
Regardless, they can play. Now, are they grown enough to be on the road traveling, you know, 82, whatever the crazy travel schedule is? Now they're getting six-figure checks. Right. You know, now they have payroll where they're paying their agents. They, you know, they got people to, taking care of them.
Right. You're living on, you got your own place, not exactly. longer in the dorm, all that.
Paying your rent or mm-hmm. your mortgage and your car notes and all of that. Are you ready for that? That's really where the conversation needs to go, and how to bridge that and how to get the kids to make better decisions. But that whole idea of whether they're really developed and ready to play, I think that's whack, for a better word.
Right.
Just whack.
Right.
Last question for me. Did mm-hmm. you get a chance to go through the draft process?
You know, I didn't. I didn't. And that was the one thing for me, and that's really changed, because when I was in high school, like I said, it was about, you had to go to the biggest school possible in order for you to be kind of considered. You wanted to be on that stage. Mm-hmm. Not so much. If I had to give the advice to a kid to do it again, I would say, look, just go somewhere local. You know, if I grew up in the L.A. area, I go to USC. I mean, I don't know what their schedule has been or how successful they've been, but go somewhere where you're going to play day one. You know, go somewhere where you're going to get a chance to make mistakes, play through mistakes, get better. Because if you can play, they'll find you. I mean, I think that's proven. I mean, they're going to China. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can play and you're good enough, you're going to get a shot. So I think more than anything, that's how the game has really changed.
And you played overseas, right?
I did. I played overseas for 10 years. I think the closest I got to the NBA, I was in the Minnesota Summer League. My son was born in 2005. So it was 2004. I was on a Summer League team. I played with Chris Bosh, Matt Bonner.
Matt Bonner.
Yeah. And I got an interesting story, too. And this was my story. I played well. I played well in the practices leading up to the week. Mm-hmm. I started my first game. I think I may have went, I don't know, 2 for 7 from the field. But I had 3 shots, no lie. Rim in and out, and then from that point I just never recovered. You know, I played bad. And Matt Bonner actually had he put together 2 great games, and he ended up getting that invite to veterans camp. Made the team, and now he's still in the league to this day. So
wow,
yeah, that's just how things work. That's how things happen. Wow. Yeah,
what's it like playing international ball?
Great. I mean, it was a terrific experience for me. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart, as right. I guess some of the NBA guys found out during the lockout. They feel like, oh, I'm just going to go over here and collect this check. Nah, this ain't.
It's not
4-star hotels. It's not, you know, you basically, it's pretty cutthroat. It can be, you know, if you got to win, and then winning is not enough sometimes, you got to average 30, you know. Wow. And if you're not doing it, you got a game Tuesday, you might have 30 and lose. On Wednesday, they might have somebody replacing you in practice. Yeah, I've seen it go down like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on that side of it. And I've also played in some good countries that, you know, wasn't necessarily so cutthroat. I think I had my best experiences were in Australia and Japan. I really loved my time over there. New Zealand was beautiful. I spent some time in playing in Ukraine, which was interesting. It was interesting. I even played in Beirut. And nice. So, you know, wherever they had the opportunity to play ball, I was there.
Nice. Nice. Get to see the world.
Absolutely.
Great experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the biggest thing I took away from it, is just getting a chance to see how other people live. I mean, it's one thing to travel and stay somewhere a week, and it's a different thing to actually, you know, immerse yourself in their culture for like 8 months.
Right.
You know, wow. It's kind of a sink or swim mentality.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, no, I mean, appreciate you taking the time
to
share all that.
Absolutely.
All the past and letting us ask you questions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, we're going to take a break. We're all three. We're coming back. We're going to actually have some fun, get into this NBA talk. Playoffs are right around the corner. We're going to discuss them. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla. Yeah.
back, y'all, to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yo, yo.
Got our guest Mike Chappelle in the house. Fam in the building.
Yep.
So if you enjoyed the discussion so far, you want to chime in on NBA playoffs or anything we've talked about so far regarding the college game and how exciting it is to watch. Not for everybody, but hit us up, man. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us on the hotline, 323-455-4219. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you remember Mr. Chappelle from his Michigan State days.
You were
NCAA head like that, you know. But just hit us back. Let us know your feedback, and we'll definitely get back at you.
Holla. Yes, sir. All right, so playoffs are about what? A week away?
Two games for my team.
I love it, man. I think Jonathan leans a little more to football. Mm-hmm. But for me, NBA playoffs, man, I'm in full gear. I'm hogging the television. This is probably the time where my wife hates me watching TV the most because, you know, all these other shows is on and that's great. But I want to watch every single NBA playoff game. That first weekend, that Saturday, Sunday, is like the two best days for me every year because all I want to do is just lamp up. It's four games back to back to back to back. Leave me alone. Let me just sit back and enjoy. And, you know, my wife, if she wants to watch the big TV, that's fine. Watch the big TV. I'm going to go upstairs, watch the little TV. I don't care. I just need to watch the game.
Nothing wrong with that.
Without it. So let's take a look in the East, man. Atlanta is clearly on top.
Atlanta got it, man.
Yeah. Cleveland clinched the number two spot.
The team that everybody is crowning that's going to win the title.
Yeah.
The favorites in the NBA, which is baffling. Baffling.
Three-team race for third with the Wizards, the Bulls, and the Raptors.
The Wizards? The Wizards will not be catching up with us. I'm sorry. We play Brooklyn tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you guys are...
W. That is a W, which means Washington is not catching up. We will at least be fourth. At least.
Oh, yeah. Milwaukee's both of y'all got to
give us that home court.
Milwaukee looks like they're pretty much stuck in sixth.
Milwaukee is locked into that sixth spot.
And it's a tight race for that seventh, eighth spot right now.
Indiana's tied with Brooklyn for number eight.
Ooh.
But Brooklyn holds the tiebreaker, so they're in right now.
So what y'all think of the other Eastern Conference heading into the playoffs? Is everybody, are we all favoring Cleveland to come out?
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean,
Well,
I should be like,
you know, I'm not.
Wow. I don't know. Atlanta's had a great year, but I think they got to show me a little more. You know, anybody can have a great regular season.
Yeah.
You know, what you going to do in the playoffs start? That's what I really want to see.
Atlanta's been battle tested. I mean, granted, they've never made a huge run in the playoffs, but this team, you know, especially Horford, I know Millsap. I mean, they played Indiana tough last year, and they always just seemed real scrappy, and they made a huge jump. I mean, they were basically an eighth spot team all the time. All of a sudden, now they're killing the East.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to see something. This is where I want to see what they can do, but I like this team. I know they don't have any name guys, but to me, Horford can get his shot when he wants. Millsap is hurt. My only issue with them right now is just health. I know we'll speak on the injury with Cephalosha. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Millsap is not back yet. I think they're just being safe, but he's not back.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I know they're resting their whole lineup, all their starters today. They did. That's why they Washington won.
When did this start? The whole rest your lineup thing, man.
Well, his coach started it, Mr. Popovich.
Yeah, but he wouldn't do that. He's not taking out every single body.
Yeah, now it's getting overboard. It's just getting ridiculous at this point.
But I know I like Atlanta.
I'm sick of the rest. They're young. What they need rest for? The guys were not doing this back in the days. And Jordan, Hakeem, all that era.
The funny thing is,
playing all 82.
The funny thing is, if they was going to rest them, it usually would be like the last two games of the season. Be
once
like,
the playoffs are clinched.
You're like, okay, they got a spot. It's not really playing none. Or if they don't rest him, we'll play him 20 minutes, he's sitting out the second half of the game. Oh, but they would at least – he'd at least get some reps in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now it's just sit your butt down.
He's resting. He's tired.
Yeah, Cleveland did that yesterday. God, I think, man, when they got blown out by Boston. Mm-hmm. Like, well, let's sit Jane. Let's sit Irvin. Let's sit Love. Like, all right. Okay. And then you could stagger it. I would think, like, well, don't sit all three of them at the same time.
Absolutely. And you got to wonder, you know, you sit the guys down, you know, they, like you said, they missed the reps. When they come back, are they a little rusty? You know, are they going to be firing on all cylinders? I mean, I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a fan of it. Not a fan of it.
Absolutely.
Who's getting the third seed?
Bulls.
Okay.
We are finally healthy, like I've been saying from Jump Street. Once D Rose came back, Gibson's back. Butler is finally back after his little hiatus. Mm-hmm. Got two games left. You see Derrick Rose's numbers are creeping up. Played 20 minutes.
Last week,
got 20 minutes. Played about 30. Now we're getting into playoff time. He's playoff mode now. Had no turnovers last night in a close game against Philly. But had
Philly?
20.
Yep.
Philly plays tough, man. You can say what you want. You can clown them. But Philly plays guys tough. But, I mean, Chicago, I just think – playoff-wise, they've been tested. They've been number one before. They've been where they've had to go on the road. Defense is what's going to carry them through the playoffs. But now they have a little more firepower they can go to. You can go to Miritich off the bench. You can get Jimmy Butler a little bit more shots. Derrick Rose is going to draw double teams at times, so that opens things up for Dunleavy, for Tony Snell, for some of these other guys who now, Aaron Brooks, who can hit these wide-open shots, these three-pointers, which was our Achilles heel forever, is that we couldn't hit threes and no, without consistency. So now that Derrick Rose is back, my only concern is that Derrick Rose hasn't played in the playoffs in 2 years.
Okay.
So mentally, can he switch that back on without, you know, because it's a different game in the playoffs.
No, it is. It is.
Can he adjust to that being out, you know, these past couple of years? But I have all faith that they'll get it taken care of.
Okay. How about you? Do you think right now they're both tied? Toronto's up, has the tiebreaker. You think the Bulls can sneak in to get the third, or you think Toronto's just going to hold out and get the third spot?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to see the Bulls get that spot. You know, I'm a Derrick Rose fan, actually. I'm a closet Derrick Rose fan. But, you know, I think that if they get in the playoffs and he's healthy, I think he'll look at it as his chance to actually prove himself once again that he's that type of player. And I think this is the kind of situation that, you know, he wants. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, it works out. They can stay healthy and, you know, put themselves in the best position possible.
Okay. You got the six seeds of Clint's. There's two spots left.
Yep.
Boston's sitting in there right now in seven. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn's a game behind. And you said Indiana is tied with Brooklyn. Who's missing? Who's not going to get in to y'all? Who do you think is?
Boston.
You think Boston's going to fall out?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I have to agree.
Ooh.
I as well think Boston's going to fall out. I picked Brooklyn in the beginning of the season to make the playoffs. So I by default, I think they're making the playoffs. Indiana, it's like I said on the last episode. I think they have that mentality. If we can clinch that eighth spot, we've been in the playoffs before. Paul George is back. Atlanta is unproven in the playoffs. If we can give them a run, who knows? So I just think they are focused on getting that number eight spot. Because they're like, we want Atlanta.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, when you look at the two conferences, I think the Eastern Conference is wide open. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about records and home court advantage.
Right, right.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, it's hard to say you have a favorite, a clear-cut favorite to say they're going to come out the East. I mean, everybody tips their head to Cleveland. But I don't know if their chemistry is, you know, makes them dominant. You know, they look good on paper. But, you know, I think the Eastern Conference playoff race is probably be a lot more interesting to watch because anything can happen, really.
Right. Ooh. Yeah, I think Brooklyn's staying in.
I would love to see Brooklyn play Cleveland. I would love to see that. With a for real Darren Williams. Not that hurt Darren Williams we've been seeing the past few years. I'm talking about all-star caliber Darren Williams.
I think Boston holds on. Mm. And just hold on enough to get in. Mm. Now, I don't think they'll keep seventh. even though they have a game lead. But I can see Boston getting. I think Indiana's just close but not close enough. With the matchups, though, who would you, as a Bulls fan right now, do you rather stay in the four seed, play the Wizards,
no.
which is not an easy out, or would you rather get
I'd
the
rather
three?
I'd rather play Milwaukee.
Play Milwaukee and have to play Cleveland next.
I'd rather play Milwaukee and have to play Cleveland next.
Okay.
Only reason being, we played Washington the last time.
didn't work out too well.
I mean, we played them tough, but I mean, Washington is one of those teams. Washington is scary because if they're on, they can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. John Wall, Bradley Beal, Paul Pierce has the playoff experience, Nene Gortat in the post. If they're on their game, they can beat anybody in the league. And as much as I would love to see a Derrick Rose, John Wall matchup again, of course we would prefer to play Milwaukee only because they're younger. Jason Kidd is still green around the pastures as a head coach. They're not playoff proven,
yeah.
And the Bulls have beaten them several times. So I think we could beat them in five, and hopefully Brooklyn can give Cleveland a little bit of a match, and they go to seven, and we can get some rest.
I gotta say I like Brooklyn though. I mean, sure, recently I think I like
Lionel Hollins as coach.
Yeah, he's kind of got getting some into them. You know, Brook Lopez, I believe this he's in his final season.
Yeah, so he's balling now. Yeah, so he's now making sure to stay healthy. Yeah. So I can get paid.
Totally making an effort to rebound now, not bringing his usual six boards and 22-6. Yeah. Okay, yeah, bro. But yeah, I like Brooklyn. Is scary. I do agree. I think the Wizards have the potential to really go far.
Mm-hmm.
They just, at some point in the season, just lost it.
Yeah.
I think Randy Whitman needs to get out of the first round for his sake, because I think he's going to get replaced if they don't make it, basically because of the fall. Same Toronto, I think they're, I don't know. I need to see more from them. Lowry just can't stay healthy.
Mm-mm. His back is, and that back is tricky, man. Mm-hmm. You never know.
But, man, even the Boston's been nice. I love the Isaiah Thomas addition.
Isaiah Thomas, I'm still mad at Sacramento for letting him go.
They stupid.
I don't that know a, why they let him leave.
Just signed David Stockton.
Yeah, that wasn't a smart decision by them.
Should have kept him with DeMarcus. Mm-hmm. All I got to say.
That would have been better. But, yeah, it looks like it's going to be that should be a good turnout. I'd like to see Brooklyn play Cleveland only because I think they'd give them more of some work mm-hmm. to do. I think if they get Boston or Indiana, I think they just
gonna wipe the floor,
with blow them out the water. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get on to the playoffs,
the more dominant conference,
the first round.
I'll be generous.
Everybody watching all these games.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State is just killing. Off the bat,
Steph Curry is a monster, man. I've never seen anybody who can shoot like that.
Yeah,
they're like dudes are draped on him, and he just like flails it up, and it just goes in swish. And we're like, what the?
Yeah, quick draw McGraw, yeah. dog. Yeah. He just he gets it up so fast. And you're like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, okay.
And his handles are insane, so he can create space. And you're just like. Nothing I can do.
He needs a new nickname. Like, they should call him a video game. Because that's the kind of stuff you do on a PlayStation.
Seriously.
You know, yeah.
I mean, we seen the video where he just broke Chris Paul.
But that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I felt bad for him, actually.
Yeah, since we're talking about them, is he going to win it? Is he winning MVP? For us over?
I think it's a two-horse race.
Yeah,
I think we talked about it earlier. I think it's definitely going to be him and James Harden.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, I think with the year Golden State has, I think you got to give him the nod. Absolutely. I mean, I can't name anybody that's had a better year.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, like,
because we've talked about it. We were both
two-man race.
Yeah.
But I had stipulations. If Houston can maintain second or third place, I think at that point you got to give it to Harden because he's basically been carrying that team by himself all season. He does not have the talent or depth Golden State has at all.
He's got talent.
He has talent. Not to say he not to no yeah. knock against any yeah. of those guys. He has Terrence Jones has been out for a lot of the season. Yeah. Dwight Howard, he's had no bigs.
Yeah.
And Montez Yunus is a stretch for it. He's not like a big.
No, but now he's out for the season.
And again, it just keeps going. So I'm like, if they're second or third, I'd give it to Harden. But at this point now where they're six, I'm like, 65 wins, got to give it to Curry, man. Especially with the way he's been playing lately. He's closing the season like exclamation point, give it to me.
Yeah, because I've been riding Harden's train feeling like what he's done with the – not having a Klay Thompson next player on that team, not having a team that's that – the defense isn't as good as Golden State. They've had the third most games missed in injuries, I think behind Lakers and Minnesota, something like that. So I was leaning to that, yeah, and because they were like a top three seed. But if he falls to six and you got Steph Curry, who, like you said, he is put up a 45-point game.
And as a caveat, they have a rookie head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's saying a lot.
I mean, and, people could say, well, you know, the talent does it all, but I'm like, coach matters. The right. Coach matters.
And, that, you know, going into the season, I didn't have them as a top three team out West.
I didn't either.
They seem to be hovering at 4, 5, 6. And for them to be
65 and 15.
65 wins,
10 games in the West.
Everybody else?
In the West.
Yeah. It's hard not to. It's hard not to. And I think he's at the point where I think he's going to fall into that number three slot in terms of best player in the game behind LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Although I know people are now like, well, Kevin Durant hurt, so does he slip some?
No.
But I think he's
– Kevin Durant is still the second best player in the world.
Steph Curry has stepped his game up.
By far.
The fact that he's not – as much of a liability on defense. But, I mean, so was James Harden. He's played a little better, too. It's hard. Yeah, I think they're going to give it to him. I almost would like to see James Harden get it because I feel like Steph Curry is at a point where he's going to be in a discussion going forward.
I think James Harden probably missed his window. I mean, if you really think about it, this was his time. I mean, he left OKC for this situation. He wanted to be the man. He's down there. He's had a few years. He's had a great year. I mean, tip my hats to it. This is his time. Steph Curry was just better. I mean, the things that he's doing is just better.
Yeah. He's saying he should be MVP for all the reasons we've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah.
Now, with all that being said, is Golden State a legitimate contender?
I think with the defense they play, yes. I think because they've stepped it up defensively, they are legit. Steph Curry, I got to give it to him. His defense has improved.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson has always been a pretty good two-way player, and his defense has improved. I mean, Draymond Green, Michigan State,
dog.
I mean, he's a load,
he's
man.
He's up there for most improved player. Yeah. Says he should be defensive player of the year.
Mm.
The fact that David Lee and Bogut are healthy just adds more depth to that front line.
Mm-hmm.
They have what it takes. It's just now, you know, they've been in the playoffs the last couple of years. They weren't the same team when they lost to the Spurs. They just weren't mentally tough enough.
Mm-hmm.
They have it, but it's just like, okay, it's a different beast. Now you are the favorite. It's different where, we snuck up on Denver. I don't know how they beat Denver that year. You know, they played – Clippers tough last year, but now you are the number one seed. You have home court. Nobody can beat you at home except for one team. you know, it's somewhat set up for them just how dominant they are offensively and having home court, just not losing at home. You know, but, you know, like you said, things get a little tight in the playoffs. It's not all fast break.
Well, two teams can beat them at home.
Oh, yeah, well, two teams did. Look,
the Bulls beat. Thank you.
I like Golden State. I think they had a great year. I think Steph Curry deserves MVP, but I'm not really sold on them. And for two reasons. One, they remind me of the Phoenix Suns back in
Steve Nash
and Tony Dave. They would win 60 games every year, and then they get to the playoffs and get in that half-court grind, you know, for whatever reason, they just couldn't get it done. So, and I'm not sold on building your team around a jump shooter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think back, the teams have been dominant in the NBA, won championships. It's hard to, you know,
a team doesn't jump out that had a perimeter three-point shooter that has won a championship. Now, I think the closest thing, and we talked about it, was Reggie Miller, and he could never get out the East.
Nope.
You know, so for me, I think there's still a lot of questions surrounding, you know, Golden State. You know?
No, I believe so. I think there are some questions. Then we get into this mad dash for second, or to me, basically, who wants to avoid Golden State in the second round. San Antonio is rolling right now.
They're second as of now.
Yeah, they're second right now after a win today. My hope is that we at least stay in at best, or at worst, we get to third. I want to stay in the 2-3 position. I prefer to avoid Golden State in the second round.
You prefer to save that for a Western Conference final?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're that good. But, I mean, like I said, Spurs are clicking. Most people are starting to believe again. Tony Parker is healthy and performing. Kawhi Leonard is at that point. Once again, we're seeing like he's adding something else to his game. He's now got a little post-up game. More offense is going through him. They never dump it on him. It seems like every year we're like, oh, when is he going to take over? And he doesn't early on. We're like, oh, see, I guess he's not ready. And then come playoff, you're like, oh, should they lean in on him more? They scary. If Thiago Splitter can come back, which it sounds like he's going to be all right, I love our chances. I think we ready to repeat. That's just my me. We on it. I have faith. I just prefer to. Hey, I would take second, third, or sixth. I want four. Clippers are up there, have a chance to get the number two seed. I mean, even Memphis itself had a chance to get the number two seed.
Well, Marcus all sprained his ankle, so I've lost confidence in Memphis.
Yeah, I feel bad for Memphis on that end.
And Mike Conley, I think, is banged up, too.
Tony Allen's banged up.
I would want to see them at full health, man.
I did, too, man. I think Memphis, I thought, was always the biggest threat outside of San Antonio to Golden State. They would be the other team. I think they're built for the postseason. I love a Jeff Green addition. Mike Conley just keeps getting better every season. You know, you got a guy like a Tony Allen who you can put on a Steph Curry or a Klay Thompson. But their injuries have started to really become a factor. You know, Clippers slowly getting healthy now. Blake Griffin is starting to get back to his self again, balling like crazy. Jamal Crawford is supposed to be back now. What do you think of these two teams, Memphis and Clippers?
For me, I don't even know. What was Clippers' record this year?
Clippers are 54-26.
I was getting ready to say they had a lackluster year, just considering, you know,
the way they look.
It feels like they, considering all the hype they had around in the last couple of years, you just keep waiting for them to just, like, impose their will on the West, and for whatever reason, whether it be injuries or what have you, it just seemed like they haven't been able to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's got to make you wonder. I mean, do they have anything left to actually make a push? I mean, how much better can they get?
Right.
I mean, Jamal Crawford's been hurt. But you've seen what the Clippers look like with a healthy Jamal. I mean, they're good, but right. Are they good enough? You know, it just leaves questions. And for me, I think Memphis is a huge dark horse. I mean, they've always been a dark horse come the playoff time. Nobody wants to play them.
No.
I mean, when they're healthy.
Right.
Now, once you start factoring injuries, I don't know. I mean, for me, I think the West, I think you got to beat San Antonio. I think it really starts with them. And, yeah, and ends with them, really.
I mean, for me, Memphis, like I just said, I mean, with the injuries that are piling up, I'm losing confidence that they're going to pull it out. Clippers, I mean, they seem like they're starting to get it together. I don't know if that Chris Kaman push on Chris Paul set them off and they got them rolling all of a sudden, but they won, what, five straight? I mean, they're rolling right now, so... And Chris Paul, I will continue to say, is the best point guard in the league. And with the best point guard in the league, I mean, DeAndre Jordan, the way he's improved this year, Blake Griffin's back, the way he's playing. Granted, they're missing, you know, Jamal Crawford, but I think J.J. Redick has proven that he can be a nice piece. Mm-hmm. Guy who can stretch the court. He's not the scorer that Crawford is, but – he can put up points in bunches if given the opportunity. The team I will say, and Chris was probably looking at me sideways, team I will say that I think can make some noise is Dallas. Dallas pushed Spurs to 7 games last year. The one team who gave the Spurs a battle.
Yeah.
They are playoff proven.
Yeah.
They got a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
They now have a point guard who's been to the playoffs. He's been in the situation where you have, you know, the big whatever you want to call it. Tyson Chandler is a good defensive presence in the middle.
Yep.
Chandler Parsons is a solid guy
who's
coming back. Richard Jefferson's been playing well as of late. I mean,
Monte Ellis can go off on any night.
And Rick Carlisle is a championship head coach.
I like that pick.
I got to give him respect.
I will tell you this, though, to be straight up honest, the number two seed is awesome, and I will love it. I hate playing rival teams. I hate it. And it's just like, we got to play Dallas again. Because
that seems like, be awesome.
Yeah, whenever you play a rival, it don't matter. They're going to play you tough.
You throw the records, whatever you did, it doesn't matter.
And these two teams hate playing each other. They play each other all the time in the playoffs. They're one of like the few actually like legit rivalries because when it's always money time, they're always playing each other.
Yeah.
So they are scary. I want to see how it's going to work out with this combination of Rondo and Ellis. They can make some noise. I would keep my eye out for them. I think they have what it takes. Portland, I mean, now they got Aaron Aflalo, 1 to 2 weeks.
I think losing Wesley Matthews was it.
Yeah, losing Wesley
Matthews was the blow. Yeah,
they didn't have the depth to survive losing a key guy. Mm-mm. And even though he's not Aldridge or Lillard, he seems to be kind of like the heart of their team. And spread the floor.
And Aflalo's out 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, Aflalo 1 or 2 weeks with his wrist, which that doesn't help. You know, Batum, I like
regressed.
Batum.
Regressed.
He
is regressed.
Yeah. I want to see them in the playoffs. I mean, it's like they're not going to have home court wherever they are.
Yeah.
But
I always got hope in my man, D. Lillard.
Yeah, he never takes over like he can.
Yeah.
He does a little bit here and there, but they're games where they need him to go off for like 25, and he doesn't. And he has bad shooting games.
But, I mean, with Damian Lillard, as he showed last year in the playoffs.
Oh, Lillard clutch,
you know what time it is.
Damian Lillard clutch.
That's my dude. I just love the way he plays.
It looks like they're going to have a battle. I mean,
no
God, he's West Coast battle. And then, okay, who right now? New Orleans is a half game ahead of Oklahoma City.
I think between the two, I'd like to see New Orleans get in. I don't think – only because I think if OKC gets in, I don't think they have enough to really advance. So I would like the young – I want to see Anthony Davis.
I would too.
I want to see them get in, get their feet wet, and see what they do in the playoffs, see if they can make some noise.
No, I agree with you. I would like to see New Orleans get in. It's just – yeah, like Oklahoma City doesn't have enough. It'd be different if it was like, okay, they're going to sneak in and they got – you know, Durant and all them back, then you would be like, oh, snap, this would be a great 1-8 matchup. Mm-hmm. And they could actually maybe push Golden State out. But with them not being healthy, although I would like to see a little bit of Russell Westbrook when it's his team
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs because we hadn't seen that, I would prefer, you know, Anthony Davis, he's playing with cash money,
mm-hmm.
with house money. I'm not expecting them to beat Golden State. But I would like to see him get that taste because
absolutely
all stars and whatever you just need to get in and get that like and if he loses in five whatever but as long as he gets there you kind of see what you need to do to get in. That to me is usually when players are like, oh, now I'm ready to
make that jump.
Take my jump to another level.
Well, New Orleans is going to be scary. They have an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to get healthy. Drew Holiday played a few minutes. He's starting to come back. Ryan Anderson's back.
Yeah.
So you have a legit three-point threat. You got a Sheik who you can throw down to bang bodies with Bogut and them. Knock on wood, Eric Gordon has been able to stay relatively healthy for most of the season. Tyreek Evans, I think, can be an X factor
because he can play well.
He can play multiple positions for you. They're going to be an interesting team to play.
Yeah, and I know they'll. You know, it's not a whole. There are a nice amount of big men in this Western Conference, but we do want to see like what Anthony Davis can do against this front line. I know Bogut's going to be on them, but I expect him to go dumb.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I hope he gets the chance just so we can see him. You know, it's like, all right, seven games, you're the focus. What can you do? That's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing Oklahoma City, they'll miss the playoffs, strike gold on their draft pick.
Get healthy and you know, right back.
Yep.
Yeah, because I want to see them at full strength.
Yeah.
But I know their problem is going to be, and I mentioned it on a previous show, once they are officially out, the talks of Durant leaving 2016 are just going to start. Which I hate that. Personally, as a fan, I hate it because it's like I got to spend the whole year. All y'all talking about is this guy going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see what he's going to do. Like, oh, he's going to leave. Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, he can't get along with Westbrook. Like, here we go again.
Yeah, the grass it's not always greener. I mean, exactly. He leaves and goes where?
Washington.
To Washington.
That's basically the two spots. It's either staying or OKC or go home to Washington.
Yeah. I hope he stays. I mean, for two reasons. I think OKC is really invested in him, you know, mm-hmm. when he was a question mark, you know. And I think that I think it's been a good situation for him. And I think he's done a lot for that market. You know, I don't like seeing stars bolt to larger markets. I think that's terrible for the game. And it's just, you know, win where you are.
Yeah.
You know, get it done where you are.
Yeah. And he has a great team and the organization's done. I mean, the trade getting Ernest Kanter,
was nice.
Getting Deion Waiters, you know, they were great moves.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook is proven himself to be a top five player in the league. It's not like those kind of players grow on trees.
No, they don't.
I mean, yes, you playing with Wall, who's great. Yes, you playing with Beal, who would be great. But they not with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
The guy who can just basically get a shot when he want it and attacks the hole with ruthless aggression.
And as good as Gortat and Nene are, I would say for health, Ibaka's better than both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think Ibaka is definitely underrated as far as his value and what he means to that team.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those three guys, healthy, I mean, I would pick them to advance, but I just don't think they have enough without him.
Okay. Yeah, man, playoffs is going to be awesome. I can't wait. Again, to some other NBA news. This was some weird situation that went down with Chris Copeland.
Yeah.
His girlfriend and another woman were stabbed and sliced at a nightclub that Cephalosha and Antic happened to be at, and that's just
they got arrested for, I guess, not allowing obstruction and not allowing them to put up the crime scene or some weird.
And all of a sudden, Cephalosha's injured right leg.
You got a fractured fibula.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute, this happened at the scene.
And I saw the videotape that was released, I think, today or yesterday, yeah, where he got hit with the nightstick.
Yeah,
it was right. Like, ooh. And it wasn't like he was, you know, resisting.
Yeah.
Guys are just grabbing at him, and he's just kind of standing there. And then they throw him to the ground, and you see a dude just kind of clocking with a nightstick, and it's like, there was no need for all of that.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about that, let me stop and preface this. It's no good thing about that, but because he's, you know, a professional athlete and such a, you know, popular sport, you can be sure that, you know, if I'm the general manager or I own OKC,
oh, the NBA is open.
I have
already
a lot of
opened
money
an investigation.
Invested in this guy, so I'm going to make sure something, whatever, you know, happened accordingly, you know. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that there'll be an investigation and, yeah, you know.
NBA has already opened an investigation,
yeah,
on that.
They're like,
we need to find out what happened. Because our player was injured because of y'all.
Yeah. That's
so what happened?
Out.
And now he's out for the season.
Yeah, which really hurts.
Which hurts Atlanta.
Absolutely.
And I know people are going to bring it up. And, you know, the players did apologize
for being
out there that late. I think it was like 4 a.m. Yeah.
It's a slippery
slope. I mean, think like if you've been doing this and we don't hear about this stuff. It is always like now when something happens, you're going to be like, oh, well, you shouldn't be out at 4. It's like, well, I've been out at 4 like the last 3 months and nothing's gone down. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah. And these aren't guys who you think are bad guys.
No.
I mean, Cephalosha, Chris Copeland.
You're at a club, people drinking, it's late.
It happens. Things happen.
I suppose he got into an argument. Didn't sound like it was anything major. It's just like, it's just really sad.
You just got to be careful.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just the wrong place, wrong time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially as an athlete, professional athlete, you guys got, especially you guys, y'all got to make sure y'all are careful, man.
Them days are over. I'm out tonight, 4 a.m. Where we at?
Hey, man, it's coming out that Vlade Divac is starting to be the voice of the Kings now. He's kind of moved up and is going to be that guy for the Sacramento Kings now. I know you were a Kings fan at that time with them.
Oh, I love Vlade.
What'd you think of that?
I think Vlade can be a good voice. He's going to have to learn to temper himself because he is the kind of guy who he'll speak his mind. He'll say exactly what he feels. And in a position like that, in a leadership position, you're going to have to temper some of those things that you want to just say, but you can't really say. But I think it's good, you know, especially with DeMarcus Cousins being the focal point of their team. I think it's good. You have another big man, center, coming in, making it known that, you know, I'm going to run things a certain way. You know, I'm sure he's talked to DeMarcus Cousins, let him know, you know, we need you here. We will be building around you. Believe it. So I think it's a good thing, especially with his European background and, you know, Yugoslavia and all that. So I think it can only benefit Sacramento.
No, I think so too. What do you think? Just the Kings, thoughts on the Kings in general.
You know, I like the move. You know, I like anytime I think they can get a former player that's won. You know, with the Lakers, and he's a winner. I mean, so he knows what it takes, and he can impose that. You know, kind of because I think for me in sports, it's more about culture. You know, right. You got to and losing and winning and losing. They can say, you know, that's a little bit of a mentality. So. You know, you got to start from day one, build a winning culture, and hopefully he brings that to them. I think they have enough talent to win. I think they can get it done. I think they have I think DeMarcus Cousins is actually a beast. I mean, if you're going to really build around somebody, I think to win a championship, you have to have good guard play, but you have to have a dominant big man. You have to have somebody you can throw it into in the half court in that grind of the playoffs, and I think he can be that guy for them. So I think it's a good move. It'd be interesting to see the direction of the club, where they move forward from here.
Yeah, I know they added George Karl. I know Vlade has come out and said that things are going to get better, which I would hope so.
Can't get much worse.
Yeah.
No pressure.
I mean, they started off great, and then it just went bad.
After they got rid of Mike Malone.
I just hope Vlade Divac – please control your owner. Don't let the owner feel like he want to do stuff on his own, make his own decisions. You know, the Mike Malone was just bad timing. And they've said it once again. This is another situation where, just like previously when he hired Mike Malone, he's hiring the coach before the GM. So he had George Karl, and now that George Karl's here, okay, now you add the general manager, which can be a little dicey at times.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But I hope they get better, man. They've got great talent. I want to see DeMarcus Cousins
in the playoffs.
Yes, at least on a competitive team, at least.
Yeah.
But they're back to getting a low pick. Hopefully they can do something right with that.
Jeez.
And Ricky Rubio is going to have arthritic surgery on his left ankle. Played only 22 games this season. Been bothering him all season.
He's been on that Derrick Rose thing. Like, he's been hurt for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Right?
All he is going to be remembered by is just like Sam Bowie. We passed on Steph Curry for this fool and Johnny Flynn.
Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing. Like two
and
picks.
We traded Ty Lawson, the one who actually panned out of the 3-point guards. We traded him to Denver, and he became an all-star.
Oh, yeah, he's
great.
Yeah.
That is going to be the draft that Minnesota whiffed badly.
Because they drafted 2-point guards, and you missed that one. Yeah.
Technically.
But I mean, back-to-back.
Yeah.
That's sad, yeah. I was hoping to see Rubio with the young guys they got there. Sound like Andrew Wiggins is just going to basically take that team over.
Yeah, definitely.
And Zach LaVine seems like those are two guys for the future.
Don't forget about my guy, Adrian Payne.
Oh, yeah. Got drafted by Atlanta, traded over there.
He's been putting up some nice numbers, too.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If something mysterious happens and they can get Jahlil Okafor, they'll have a nice little nucleus there. They will have a nice nucleus.
No, I can see them going for one of them bigs, him or Towns for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
Yeah, he chose that. I didn't make him do that, y'all. All right, let's move on. Get through these other sports. Hitting some NFL. Troy Polamalu retiring after 12 seasons.
My wife was devastated.
It was sad, man. I mean,
as a Steeler fan, she was hurt.
Dude is a
Hall of Famer.
Yes,
no question. SC guy too. So especially as an LA guy, I'm like, dang.
I can't wait to see how they do his bust with the hair. Are they gonna have some with the hair real?
They
long
have to.
Or something?
They have to. You got to incorporate the hair because that's what he's known for. And I mean, it kind of sucked because basically Pittsburgh was trying to urge him out the door.
Right.
Get out of here, like retire, so we don't have to cut you. Like, yeah. And it's unfortunate it came to that, but you could just see on the field he was not the same guy that he was in the past. And he said it was family and all that, but we know the real deal.
Yeah, I think he wanted to keep playing. Probably at least another year, but I don't think
he wanted to play with anybody else.
No, I think he just hand was forced, and he's like, "All right,
12 NFL seasons. I mean, that's amazing in itself.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's a especially lot. It seemed like it's been 12 years
with the way he played.
Yeah. You hear about 12 seasons? That's like NBA talk. Yeah. I mean, 12 NFL seasons. That's unreal.
Yeah, when the average is like what
three?
Yeah, man, that's
crazy.
Dolphin center Mike Pouncey. Got him a 5-year, $52 million extension, 22 guaranteed.
And now he's the highest paid center until next year.
Yep.
So somebody else will take that notion.
Passed up his brother out in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm.
He's great.
He is.
He's worth it, but I mean, I got to give it to these NFL players. Unlike the NBA and these guys, I mean, most of these contracts are not guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. So I'm focusing on the $22 million guaranteed and $11 million.
Exactly. That's signing bonus.
That's what he's going to see.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, hopefully this helps his team. You know, they shelled out all that money to Ndamukong Suh. Now he's getting money.
That hurt me.
I'm sure he did.
He looked so nice with the Lions.
Got a Haloti Ngata to replace him.
No, that's fine. How do you feel about your Lions, though, after this season?
You know, I thought they got shafted, you know. But, I was proud of what they did. And, you know, like I said, I wish they could have kept the team together. But at the end of the day, it's business. And, you know, I'm happy for him. I mean, he got a good deal.
No.
So I wish him the best.
Le'Veon Bell suspended 3 games and fined 4 game checks.
Damn.
For violent substance abuse policy from last year. He is appealing.
Of course he is.
Because I was like, wow. I thought he got... Wasn't he out? I thought he was out like a couple games. Or was that the team who did that?
That was a team imposed.
Here we go with the NFL. Once you were leery later, like, dang, now we're going to punish you.
Yeah.
This feel like this on some NC2A crap.
And yeah. I know he was, I guess he was the driver, so.
Yeah, he's got the
DUI. He got the.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, 3 games. And 4 games.
And 4 game checks. You know, like, that 4 game checks is what's hitting me.
Yeah, right. You might as well make him sit for 4 games.
Exactly.
Yeah. He go
not playing
checks.
For free. I look like. But, yeah.
And I got to give some love to the NFL. Hiring Sarah Thomas to be the first full-time female official. She'll be a line judge for the 2015 season.
I'm happy for her, but at the same time, I'm very scared for her. Because as we saw with Chris Paul and the female referee, how that interaction went, can you imagine a football player? This bitch. Oh, snap. Yeah. And I'm just being realistic because you could have a situation like, did this bitch just do that? And it's caught on mic, and now we got a bigger problem.
I'm almost more afraid of her than it would be like I can't think of her name, but the chick got the Spurs hired as a female.
Oh, Becky Hammon?
Yeah. Because it does feel like football is testosterone-driven.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen the freak out with...
don't let her make a wrong call.
No. I mean, what up? What's saying that came out last year? And that hoopla about the gays in the locker room and...
Michael Sam?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank with Michael. All that. Now it's like... It went under the radar. I hadn't heard much about it. I just seen it like, okay... Happy for the progress.
Like I said, she better not. If she messes up a call, it's a wrap, son. If she calls team a game, I feel for her.
That's tough because locker rooms are probably the most unpolitically correct, you know, environments ever. Yeah. And I don't think you're ever going to change that. Yep. I mean, so.
And it's hard because I don't know. I mean, you got like the sideline reporters and whatnot that are out there. But I'm like, you're actually on the line. So you're going to be running back and forth. in front of these all these guys on the field, on their sides of the ball, who the hell knows what they talking about?
You see her ass?
Like, oh,
that's a bullshit spot. This bitch done spotted
it. I'm just saying, I'm not wishing that on her,
but
it can happen. And
I mean, I got a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think there'll ever be a line? Like, okay, so this is the first female official. Do you see the day where there'll be female head coaches or female assistant coaches?
In football, it's going to take a long time. No. Basketball, I could see a female head coach a lot sooner than football. I mean, football, you would have dudes looking at her like.
Well, I think the difference is.
There would be immediate just disrespect. She would have to do so well to earn their respect. Like, they'd have to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl and all. Like, that's how you get in the respect.
Going back to that, what's the movie?
Was it Wildcats. I'm like, that's kind of, you know, what we're looking at. But so
I think the biggest thing with this move is you have females that play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that much of a transition. Most people, or at least half the society, is not comfortable, would not be comfortable seeing females play football.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, like, oh, now you're going to coach, me personally, no, it's not going to happen. Assistant,
maybe.
No, because the difference, maybe. What I think, even with the NBA, to me, getting a black head coach is not a big deal. Maybe because, you know, most of the players are black.
Yeah, I think that's a reflection of your league.
Right. It's like pulling teeth, it feels like. It's like, oh, we got a black coach.
They have a rule that you have to interview a minority before you hire a head coach. That should tell you everything.
Yeah, so I don't see a woman. Now, would it be like a head judge? I mean, the head referee?
Could happen.
That could happen. But
this is the first step towards that.
Exactly.
So. But having a female ref on the field?
It's big.
I need to see that happen. That's probably going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what she's going to hear in there.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm glad that they're moving in this direction. But for football, it's going to be very slow.
A long time.
Yeah. Moving on to MLB. Our Angels owner, Artie Moreno, saying Josh Hamilton may not play again with the Angels after his drug alcohol relapse. This situation is just getting bad.
It's
you had a teammate of his who came out and was basically like, if he was playing better, it wouldn't be an issue.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Or absolutely.
I think it's 100% true. You know, they're basically like, we paid to get the old Josh Hamilton, 43 homers, hitting over 300. Now we're getting a guy who ain't hit 43 homers yet, I think, or at least got to it in two seasons, not hitting like 290. Struggling,
but I'm like, you have a guy now who needs your support more than kicking a man when he's down. I mean, he had a drug relapse. That's not a small thing. That's huge, especially for the druggie. I mean, how do you think he's taking all of this? Yeah. He just relapsed. Basically, he is now the poster boy for MLB people who relapse and do drugs and blah 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 blah, and. He needs support from somebody. So I commend his teammate coming out, you know, kind of defending him a little bit, like, oh, if he was balling, y'all wouldn't say a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's at a point now where he needs help. I would urge the Angels, because they would look so much better if they offered a helping hand to him, saying, look, we're going to get him in rehab. We're going to try to help him out a little bit, see what happens when he comes back. If things don't work out, you know, we'll part ways, but at least we're going to try to help him out. I think they'd be taken in a much better light if they at least extended a helping hand to him, as opposed to trying to push him out the door now.
I think
it's like, you're a druggie, get out of here.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, too much in professional sports. I mean, people will look past your character flaws.
Exactly.
Just as long as you're producing on the field, you know, and you forget that these guys, they're paid all this money, but at the end of the day, they're human. Exactly. You know, I mean, at some point you gotta appeal to the humanity, the human side of, you know, exactly. And hopefully, you know, someone in the organization reaches out to him and they actually, you know, mend that bridge and not just treat him as cold product.
Exactly. Exactly.
It just keeps coming for MLB. Mets closer, Jenry Mejia, if I'm saying that right, was the next player to be suspended 80 games for the use of the steroid. Stenozolo on Saturday, he got busted now.
Him and Irvin Santana.
Yeah.
I'm waiting somebody else to come. You know, another domino is going to fall.
Something about this drug.
Now, I got a whole another hypothetical for you. Uh-huh. Why don't they just legalize it? I mean, this is a professional league. You know, if you legalize it and say, okay, you have a choice. You know, these are the circumstances. This is what happened to you long term if you take it. And just make it a choice, you know. And so that way you kind of take the whole black market of guys cheating to get an advantage, you know. If you want to produce, if you want to do it that bad, you can do it.
Mm. Well, I mean, with baseball, baseball is the slowest progressive sport probably out of all these sports. I mean, including golf and other sports here. And that baseball is, you have these good old boys, they are stuck to their roots, and the sport will be clean. The integrity of the sport will be maintained. There will be no cheating, even though during the steroid era, that was when baseball was at its peak, at its highest popularity. So I agree. There's something to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, you know, when Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds were slugging all these home runs, that's what people were watching. Yeah. Now, ain't nobody watching baseball like that anymore.
No, the power of the game is gone.
Yep.
You've got a lot of dominant pitchers now. A lot more shutouts going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys not hitting. You know, but the other problem is now you're getting a lot of the pitchers being caught with steroids, where before it was all the hitters. So, you know, the game is slowed. It's not as exciting. It's more, you know, pitching and you know, the short game rather than all of being about homers. You know, I know sport goes through trends. I don't think they can do that because they still sell themselves as America's pastime. Mm-hmm. They basically be telling young kids it's a problem. I mean, telling young kids it's okay to take steroids. I don't think their sponsors would be cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they take a major hit monetarily because it's not like this is football and marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually like steroids that lead to, you know, you hurting yourself or others. And, you know, the hit they took, just kind of denying it or just like not really caring, I don't think they want to go down that road again.
Mm-hmm.
So they may want to. To get the numbers back up, but then they're like, nah. They're going to keep doing this, and hopefully guys will get it together.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, damn, 80 games, shit. And I love your tweet the other day. You were like, why is everybody freaking out? Like, it's 4 games. We got like 158 to go.
Man, I saw Dodger fans were upset. And I mean, even as a White Sox fan,
yeah.
I was, you know, my team has started off, I think we're now 2-3, but even I was like, people are already panicking. I'm like, it's 162 games. And teams go on streaks all the time. So I'm like, there's no reason to panic this early in the damn season. I'm like, once we get to August, September, close to October, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But 2 games into the season, all right, that's a little excessive. We call those fanatics.
You're right. And got to give some love to Jordan Spieth. Who's winning
the Masters?
Yeah, he won the Masters.
21 years old. They said he set a record, I believe.
Yeah, he set a record for, like, I think most birdies.
The scoring mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, basically leading the whole damn way. It's funny, the Masters, the way it is now, somebody new always wins. Rory McIlroy finished first. Tiger Woods, who made the cut?
Well, he said, just make the cut. He actually played pretty well.
Yeah.
I was talking to my father-in-law about that today. He said, you know, Tiger was looking pretty good.
He hurt his wrist today.
Oh, great.
So he ended up finishing 13. Yeah. But he showed earlier in the week some flashes. Like, okay.
The only part I feel bad for this Jordan Spieth, he won, and all people are going to talk about is how Tiger looked.
Yeah.
Like, he ain't going to get no love. It's like, really? I dominated this. But...
Yeah, it said the marks he got 36-hole record at 14 under 130, 54-hole record at 16 under 200, the most birdies for the tournament at 28,
Woo.
Lowest opening round by a champion at 64. Like, wow.
21 years old. I mean, my goodness. So good for him.
Yeah, they
happy
need,
for him.
Yeah, they need more stars because, you know, Tigers getting older and they need to keep people coming in. They need that draw.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. Let's get into these awards for the week.
All righty.
All right. First off, as usual, got to start off with the Noice Award.
Noice, Noice, Noice.
Noice, Noice.
I'll let you go first, John.
All right. My first one is kind of sad. Rest in peace to Lauryn Hill. For those of you who just gasped, I'm not talking about the R&B singer. I am talking about the 19-year-old played for Mount St. Joseph's.
Yeah.
They did. I know ESPN did a piece on her. A lot of people were following her. She did pass away at 19. She had brain cancer diagnosed when she was 18. So, you know, prayers just want to go out to her family. I know she made her mark when she was able to play in the game. She scored and all of that. So, you know, just bringing awareness to the cancer and the things that these people have to that have cancer have to go through on a day to day. So, you know, prayers go out to her family and, you know, shout out to her for making a mark and leaving an impression, you know, on the world of just how generous she was and just how caring and fighting hard for that cancer. And unfortunately, she didn't win the battle, but she made a mark in the U.S. and she will be remembered. Now, past the sad stuff. The other noise, I got to give it to my squad, my Bulls. Shout out to Hoopla, Storm. I know you're going to hate me. Bulls down 19 points at halftime, rallied back, and won. That's what I'm those are the Bulls I'm talking about. They said Nazir Muhammad, even though he don't get no time, still a veteran presence, said he gave, like, they said Tom Thibodeau was very kind of calm. And they said Nazir Muhammad is the one who spoke up and, you know, told guys what it is. And this is what we got to do. We got to start playing, get on the same page. And apparently D. Rose and those boys heard him and took it to heart. And they locked down defensively in the second half. And that is the effort I intend to see from Chicago come playoff time. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Loving it.
All right, Mike.
No, I'm going to tip my hat. I just saw that Russell Westbrook scored 54.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. He gets my shout.
Okay.
He gets my shout. I don't know about that tech that he got. Probably, you know, but hey, 54, career high, that's saying something.
Yeah, dude, he has a baller, man.
Absolutely.
He just has to keep it. His efficiency just needs to go up.
Yeah, he took 43 shots to get that. What? 54 points.
Yeah, I just saw that. 43 shots. And this is why.
That was going to be my W.
Okay. Wow.
Shout out to him. 54 points.
Yeah.
54
points.
He was going to make it happen. That's for sure.
Dang. No, you. My Norse Award, I'm giving it to Steph Curry,
mm-hmm.
who breaks his own record of 3 points made in the season. He broke the record last year with 272. I believe he has around 280 now.
Jesus, man.
A couple games ago. This is people gonna be like, this is why he should be MVP. It's a 3-point league.
Yeah.
3-point league now. Dude is just wet with that three.
His shot is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. And of course, everybody's favorite.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
For me, mine is going to the Red Sox-Yankees game last week went 19 innings. The game took 6 hours and 49 minutes to complete.
7 hours.
Yes.
And there are people who actually stayed from beginning
to end. There were some people who stayed.
This is why baseball has lost a lot of fans. 7 hours. That's wow. Why I don't go to baseball games. I refuse wow. because I'm leaving at 7. I'm leaving after the second inning. Then. That's the case. Oh,
7 hours.
Yeah, you get the extra innings. You're like, you know, I got to go to work tomorrow. But yeah, 7 hours. I mean, look, I mean, baseball games are fun to attend, but seven hours.
I'd have been gone after 2.
How are you watching the game? You're like, damn, this game, man, I got stuff to do.
I know. Who has 7 hours to just chill?
And the games are like 3-4 hours. 7? Mm. Lord. All right, Mike. Give us yours.
Oh, mine. I'm going to stay with Russell Westbrook. Right. I mean, he took 43 shots. I mean, what kind of mentality do you have in a pro environment where you just going to go out and I'm going to take 43 shots? You know, that's a special individual there.
This is why
I have always been on hard on him taking all these daggum shots. Because I'm like, you got KD, who is efficient, dropping 50% from the field, normally 40-something odd percent from three, shooting close to 90% from the free throw line. He is the epitome of efficiency. So that is, again, why he is the second best player in the league.
How many, what are the other numbers? How many assists he have? Like,
I don't know. Now, I will say he shot 48% from the field, or 40. You know, he made 21 shots, right. But to take 43.
How many assists did he have is what I want to know.
Let's think a little.
That's the $1 million question, since he is a point guard.
I don't think you can call him a point guard.
That's what he refers to himself as.
I think in NBA circles, the trendy name is he's a combo guard.
Okay. We call those swing men if you want to.
Yeah, they try to have that
swing man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just that he's not efficient like that. And this, you take 43 shots in a game and you lose, it's just, even if you score that high, you're like, what about helping your other team out? This is why people are like, you need to make your teammates better, and you're not.
But you know what? Everybody loves a score.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's the NBA, you know, how the NBA has gone from, you know, three-point shots. Everybody wants to see threes and dunks and fast breaks. And that's why the MVP race is so exciting, because you got two scores. You know,
right.
Everybody loves scores. Nobody cares about the guy getting a triple-double. I mean, that's nice. Yeah. But how many did James Harden have? You ain't have 60 or 50, you know?
And he was putting a triple-double score on 40. It's just the wins weren't coming. 43 right. shots, yeah.
Mm.
Let me just see. He had 8 assists, 9 rebounds, only 2 turnovers. Very surprising.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That sounds like a great game.
Yep, five of 15 from 3.
43 shots, though. You play by himself?
Pretty much. Who had the second most?
Deion Waiters had 16 on 16 shots. Ernest Cantor fought 13 on 5 of 11, but
they were putting up a lot of shots that game there.
Yeah, they were. Oh, but guess what? CJ Miles goes for 30. Like, maybe that's your dude. You lost to the Pacers, man. You trying to win the playoff game. You go for 53 and you lose in the game you need.
It's what?
What the fuck?
Yep.
What the fuck? All
right, Jay, what you got?
All right, number one, got to go to Derek Fisher again. I mean, he just can't seem to say
the
right things.
They just had that kind of season.
He just can't say the right things as a coach. So Derek Fisher said, and I quote, when asked about potentially duplicating the dramatic turnaround that Milwaukee did. Says, and I quote, "I guess that's possible. Where we are not here trying to squeeze in. We are not here trying to go from 15 to 36. That's just not who we are. So it can turn around quickly. It will turn around quickly. But we really don't have to put a number on it. We are 6-21 in games decided by 6 points or less this year. So we lost 21 games on 2 possessions. So we don't have to go from 15 to 36 next year. We can go from 15 to 63 if we really want to. But that is up to us." The phrase that rubbed me the wrong way was, "if we really want to." So y'all really want to win 15 games then? Is that what it is? If we really want to win 63 games, we can win 63 games. Like, really? Okay. It's the same coach we're talking about. We put our shorts on the same way. We all wear t-shirts. We all wear deodorant. It's just like, come on, man. I mean,
well, his heart's in the right place.
I understand.
That's blind optimism.
Yes.
You know, truly blind optimism.
I think the last time there was a turnaround of that magnitude,
they said it was the Boston Celtics.
Oh, it was. I was going to say it was the San Antonio Spurs after they added David Robinson. I think they won his rookie year. It went from last place in the West, and they ended up winning.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I think they said the biggest turnarounds, you have Boston with 42. In 07-08, you had the 99-2000 Lakers with 36, the 97-98 Spurs with 36, the 89-90 Spurs with 35, and the 04-05 Suns with 33. I don't see the Knicks turning it around.
The only way that happened is if One, they basically get, to me, a top two pick. One of them two picks.
Got to get Okafor.
Yeah. Or, I mean, get to, or whoever. But you
Towns going to take too long. Jahlil Okafor, is, to me, can come in and make an immediate impact because he has an offensive repertoire he can use.
And then you get some guys in free agency.
Yes. But you got to start with their centerpiece. You got to work on Carmelo. You know, you got to figure out, you got to get Carmelo to actually.
That's if he's healthy.
Desire that. You know right. what I'm saying? Look, man, you know, because Carmelo's a great player when he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think he can stray off to that. Okay, I'm just about getting my numbers and I'm cool with my money. I'm straight. Yeah. You know.
But now they're going to want more for him. Well, they're going to want more from him this year.
Absolutely.
All right. And the New York Knicks, not to beat a dead horse, but. The Knicks and the Magic on Saturday combined for the lowest scoring quarter in the history of the NBA. New York outscored Orlando, hold it, wait for it, 8-7. They scored a combined 15 points in a quarter.
That's wow. terrible.
The fewest points in a quarter in the shot clock era since 1954-55, which spans 209,888 quarters played.
And that Orlando was 18.
3 for 19 and 0 for 4 from 3. And New York was 3 for 20 and 0 for 5 from 3. They combined for 9 turnovers.
They should offer a refund to their fans.
With 7 by Orlando.
Wow.
Jesus. Right. Yeah, that's the quarter. You're like, okay, I'm about to go. Let me go to the
bathroom. Let me go get some food.
Yeah, that's the quarter. You walk and you walk around the stadium. I'm going to just go. Let me use the bathroom. Let me just take a walk and get some souvenirs. You know,
15 points. I'm like, dude, score that in a quarter by themselves.
Yeah. Like, you struggle that much to get.
Oh, my God.
That sounds painful to watch.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, I just got to give the Bulls an asterisk. What the fuck? Because they lost to Orlando. The team that scored the lowest points in a quarter, and we lost to them. Very disappointing.
You needed that Very W, disappointing. Too.
I don't care if it was Derrick Rose's first game back. Very disappointing.
Effort Payton was going off on him.
Yeah, you sure enough was. And Oladipo hit that damn game winner.
Oh, drove on Jimmy Butler.
I like Oladipo, though.
I do, too.
He's got some game.
He's improved, yeah, man. He Orlando is slowly.
They've got some pieces. Got they some need talent. A veteran. They need vets to show these young guys how to
do it. They got a nice young backcourt. Vucevic is nice. Tobias Harris can do something.
If they can keep him.
Who?
Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
I hear he's going to New York.
Yeah, he said he wants to go there. Go to New York. I don't blame him. And y'all, you and they both in the same situation. Might as well go someplace you like. We want to thank you, Mike. Thanks for coming through, hanging out with us.
My pleasure. I enjoyed this.
Thank you, man. I don't know if you have any Twitter, social media stuff you want to give out to anybody?
Nah, I'm kind of light on that. I need to step up my social media game.
Nah, we appreciate it, man. But nah, thanks for coming through and hanging out with us. You're always welcome back.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed this, man. This is a lot of fun. I hope you guys have me back sometime.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, man. Of course. You know, you're welcome.
Cool.
You know, you can find the show on blackisonline.com. You can also find us on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio. If you get a moment, leave us a review. We like the 5-star kind. Leave us with how you're feeling. You can do that on iTunes, Stitcher. You can also comments. You can also hit us up on our page on blackisonline.com. If you feel so generous and want to leave a donation, you can go to the donate button on the website. Y'all want to get at us directly, leave us any feedback that way. You can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Reach out to us on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to thank Mike again for coming on the show. Asked him to come on and didn't even hesitate to say, yeah, I'd be on the show. So definitely appreciate that. Definitely want to thank y'all for the longtime listeners. Thank you for tuning in, seeing what we're about up in here. For the first-time listeners, definitely want to thank you for checking us out and seeing what we're about in the happy hour. Go ahead and tell all your loved ones. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. See what we got today. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. And we got, that shirt is inspiring me. Tell the Joker. Tell Catwoman. Tell Batman. Tell the Green Lantern. Tell the Flash.
Tell Wonder Woman. Tell Superman. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, joined by our cousin Mike Chappelle, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
Later.
And I just want to give you a quick heads up that we will be off next week. I have family in town for the weekend, so I'll be entertaining them. But we will be back in 2 weeks to give you that goodness that only the Brothers Layman can provide.
It's the 788 D10, just like Jake Snake. Actually, we don't participate, but if you do, then I'ma see you at your wake. Don't let the drama fluctuate. I don't wanna, I gotta, we could say. Now where would we be at if we let you do that? We probably be laying on our backs. Talking this and that, you want my, you plan ya, it was whack. I never would clean myself out like that, but I guess this where you at, this where you at. What I'ma do is like, call out your whole crew cause your crew likes to bite us. Y'all stick to freestyling cause y'all ain't no writers trying to be something. And can't play the game to you sound the same man you claim to be something. You ain't, it won't be without SP.
That's right.
I need to be smacked open hands.
I can't give a fuck about this shit. You all up in my face over some whole shit. Just come out. You wanna be with my clique? You must know, really, how wild I get. When I walk in the place saying yes, yes. There's some people who really wanna see the ass. Personally, I can give a fuck less. Check your lady, she's a groupie hoe. Opening her coochie hoe. Fuck that hoe. Outta unity road. When you front, it's inspiration. No, you.
You wanna be some and can't play this game. You sound the same man you claim to be something. You ain't, it won't be without SP. Y'all need to be smacked open hands and beat by these.
Talking this and that, you want my, you plan ya, it was whack. I never would play myself out like that, but I guess that's where you at. For me to hold you up, you think I really give a fuck? You and your crew, y'all wanna be so.